This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleagues. Former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, Hussaina Khani, now of the Hudson Institute, and Bill Rajo, senior fellow of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies, reflecting upon what went wrong between the Taliban deal of 2020 and the withdrawal of ISAF forces in August of 2021. We now come to Pakistan, the neighboring country that is both a solution and a problem for Afghanistan, for the region. But recently there's been a change of government and a fresh wind, except, Mr. Ambassador, I read from the Reuters report in these last hours, Pakistan's opposition leader and former Prime Minister Imran Khan announced the date of a march to Islamabad to demand dissolution of the assemblies and a date for elections as the South Asian nation continues to slide into political and economic crisis. This far away, it's difficult to judge how severe this challenge is to the new government. What is your measure of Imran Khan? What is it that he wants? Who is he talking to?
Imran Khan doesn't talk to anybody, and he doesn't want anything except Imran Khan. He doesn't care that the Pakistani economy is in free fall. He left it in free fall. He created subsidies on oil and gas products in his last few days, knowing full well that the Pakistani exchequer could not bear the burden of those subsidies and that that would jeopardize Pakistan's IMF program. That has caused a run on the rupee. And so now the rupee is at more than 200 rupees to the dollar, something that it was at about 120 when Imran Khan took over. So he is basically just wreaking revenge on the opposition that outmaneuvered him and basically voted him out of office in parliament. Now, how much support does he have? Well, if he had believed that there should be an election, Pakistan's constitution allows, like all parliamentary democracies, for the prime minister to dissolve parliament anytime. He could have dissolved it before the no-confidence motion was moved. Once he realized he had lost support, he could have done it. He didn't do that. His demand for elections is not because he wants elections, because I don't think he will do very well in the elections, but to create chaos. He wants trouble in the streets. He wants the government not to be able to function. For him, it's Imran Khan or nothing. It is January 6th in Pakistan every day. Until Imran Khan gets his way, or until the Pakistani military, the judiciary, and everybody gets together and boxes Imran Khan in, which they are reluctant to do because they do not want the chaos that will come from trying to do that. So either way, Pakistan is in deep trouble. As far as the government is concerned, the government has not shown great competence, by the way. It was assumed that Shahbaz Sharif had been a chief minister of Pakistan's largest province, Punjab. He had great administrative experience. He was much better at things than Imran Khan was. But he hasn't been able to transfer that skill, partly because he has an unwieldy coalition. But more important, he has to constantly compete with the populism of Imran Khan. How do you withdraw subsidies that have just been given? People like subsidies. They may be bad for the economy, but if you withdraw them, then people will say, oh, God, the price of oil and gas has gone so high all of a sudden, because the average person doesn't always realize how subsidies undermine the macroeconomic picture. So the government has a bad hand at the moment, and it's playing it not particularly well.
I'm told there's a heat wave across the subcontinent. I'm also told there are food shortages appearing throughout the developing world. Is there famine? Is there fear of food security in Pakistan at this moment?
At this moment, Pakistan does not have an immediate and urgent food security issue. But there are projections that if Pakistan is unable to buy things internationally, that there might be serious fuel and food shortages down the line. And after all, you need hard currency to buy fuel from other countries. Pakistan has tried. In the past, it has received deferred payment supplies of oil from friendly countries like Saudi Arabia and the UAE. But all of them are rather reluctant now because many of them say, we will support Pakistan only if Pakistan is willing to change certain policies. And changing those policies requires a national consensus that is difficult to build when you have the immediate past prime minister out in the streets saying, I was thrown out as a result of an American conspiracy, something that is totally unproved and an absolute lie, or that I am the target of a constant conspiracy by the military, and that the opposition that has now come into office, that they are actually crooks and conspirators who have thrown me out by immoral, if not illegitimate, means.
Bill, quickly, you have a write-up about the Afghan Taliban brokering a ceasefire between Islamabad, Pakistan's government, and the TTP, the Taliban in Pakistan. The self-interest here is obvious, but it's strikingly ironic. What part did the Haqqani Network play in this? We've got about a minute, Bill.
Yeah, the Haqqani Network, which, of course, is an integral part of the Taliban. Its leader is also deputy emir of the Taliban, as well as its interior minister. This group has played an influential role in brokering peace in other between jihadist groups. It should work between negotiations between the Pakistani state and Al-Qaeda. And in this case, it helped extend a ceasefire between the movement of the Taliban in Pakistan, which, of course, operates from Afghanistan. Its leader swears allegiance to the Afghan Taliban, and the deal is between the TTP and the Pakistani state. This is no surprise. This is part of that wheel of jihad that we talk about, where the Afghan Taliban supports the Pakistani Taliban, the Pakistani Taliban attacks the Pakistani state, and the Pakistani state supports the Afghan Taliban, and on it goes. At the end of the day, Pakistan is far more interested in Afghanistan controlled by the Taliban than the minor problems from its perspective of the Pakistani Taliban attacking and killing Pakistani soldiers and civilians, policemen, government officials, etc.
So this ceasefire is a reloading, not a final position.
Exactly. The TTP in the past has used ceasefires to regroup and just gain more territory, more influence. You should never trust the Taliban when it comes to negotiations.
Bill Rajo, a senior fellow at the Foundation for the Defense of Democracy. Hussein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, now at the Hudson Institute. Instability in Afghanistan, instability in Pakistan. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.